Wolfley spent 10 years in the NFL. My name's Doug Franz. Every show with a football player has some guy that just rides alongside, and that's me.
Hang in there, Doug Lees.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the two of us this morning, and we're pretty thrilled about this. Michael Vick is on Fox NFL Kickoff Show, and he has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Michael, good morning. How's your life?
Life is great, man. Thank you. How's your life?
It's I get paid to sit on my butt, yes. Mike. We're good.
Michael, are you enjoying this? Are you enjoying the fact that you're in the media, right, and you're on camera? Are you enjoying this part of your career?
You know what? I enjoy it. I enjoy the company that's around me. I enjoy having the opportunity to talk about football every Sunday. Still getting used to being referred to as the media.
We'll argue about that too.
Michael, I've never a member of the media. I never have been.
In our profession, you know, we kind of look at it sort of two-faced. So, but it's all good, man. You know, it is what it is. God bless me. And I'm the media now.
You can see him on Sundays during the whole season. He's on at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he's also an FS1 NFL analyst. All right, here you go. We're going to start it off guns a-blazing. I'm naming you an NFL general manager. And in the draft, with the number one pick, you can choose Michael Vick or Kyler Murray. Who are you taking?
You know what? It all depends on what day and time we're in.
Okay.
But, you know, I would have to go with Michael Vick. I would have to go myself. You know, I think you can't lose. It's almost like, you know, trying to decide if you're going to take, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady in the same draft, you know. And you know what they can do coming out of college. You've seen their body of work. So I think you can take your pick. I mean, what I would probably do is just put, two name tags in a box and draw one up, whichever one I grab. I can't lose.
Michael, though, you've heard the comparisons, and you know the comparisons are out there. The number one comparison with Kyler Murray is Michael Vick. What do you think about those comparisons? Break it down for us as the analyst that you are now.
Yeah, well, I think they're very accurate comparisons. When you look at what Kyler can do when the ball is in his hands, from the time he gets it from the center, it's almost, you know, the things that he can do dynamic is always on display. In week one of our Fox NFL Kickoff Show, I said that Kyler was an amazing arm talent. He went out and threw for 300 yards. Week two, he goes out and threw for 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I also said we know about his running abilities and the things that he can do when he takes off, when things break down. When things break down, he can, you know, he can scoot it up the field and he can gain 10, or he can scramble to his right or left, throw it downfield and gain between 10 or 50. You know, so he's just a dynamic talent that's really hard to stop. The comparisons to me is accurate because that's, you know, the things that I presented at the quarterback position. I could take it long. I could take it deep. I can throw it deep. I can throw it short. And, you know, when you're able to do that in this day and time with the new offenses and the new structure, of certain offenses, then that's what you get. You get a guy, you know, where he's mobile. He can pass it. He's going to get those Michael Vick comparisons, and rightfully so. And I think, you know, in today's game, they can do it a little better than what I did. Started out in the system under Dan Reeves that was very efficient for me. He catered to my strengths, and then I got stuck in a West Coast system for 4 years, so I had to find another way to bring it out until we brung the Wildcat in 2006. So these guys are coming in with a head start, man, and it's making them look really unstoppable at the quarterback position.
We're talking to Michael Vick, and you just heard him mention Fox NFL Kickoff Show. That's where you could see him. Michael, one thing that worries me about Kyler, and you're the exact person to talk to about, I'm in shock that you're only 39 years old. I'm in shock at the way Cam looks like Cam Newton's body. I hope not, but it looks like his body might be breaking down on him. How do quarterbacks that have the ability to create so much with their legs stay healthy in the NFL?
Well, you have to be smart. Fortunately for me, I had Andy Reid in my ear constantly helping me improve as a passer, encouraging me to protect myself and make sure that I was there on Sundays for the team. Cam, and we all can attest to this, you know, he's a 6'5", 6'6", 250-pound guy. And, you know, to Cam's credit and what I do understand, if I had that type of body too, I would think I was invincible. And there were times,
right.
There were times where I thought in seasons where Cam just felt like he could do it all. Superman. Yes, with that Superman tag, you know, comes a certain level of destruction when you label yourself that. And I seen Cam run into defenders in ways that I could never do. He had the body to do it. But, you know, with quarterbacks, we're not used to locking up like the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman. We're not used to butting heads like running backs versus linebackers. Even defensive backs and safeties are super strong, and these guys train different from us. And so I think it, you know, I'm hoping that it hasn't caught up with Cam. I'm hoping that he just needs some time to get himself together. But now we got a foot injury. We hit the shoulder 2 years in a row. You just got to protect yourself, man. And, you know, I think, you know, we're all going to be leaders by example for the next generation of quarterbacks to come, whether mobile, immobile. You know, it's all about protecting yourself, man, and being smart playing the game. So, you know, Cam sacrificed a lot for the Carolina Panthers, man, and we all appreciated watching it. I know they appreciate what he's done for the organization. And, you know, he'll get healthy and he'll get a couple more years out of his career.
See, Michael, you were the most explosive quarterback I have ever seen play in the National Football League. You know, I'm talking about running a legitimate 4.3, which was scary when you think of the fact that I remember that a lot of your coaches were telling you, now listen, you got to be careful here. You have to be careful. You can't just pull the ball down and run. You've got to be a passer in this league. How did that not take some of your natural aggressiveness away? And if so, how does Kyler Murray beat that?
Yeah, well, my coaches never tried to take that natural aggression away from me as far as running the ball. They knew it was an asset of mine and that it could be used as long as it was used accordingly throughout the course of a football game. You know, what I tried to do and what I ingrained in my mind was becoming a passer and making defenses fear me in the pass game just as much as they would fear me in the run game. So I don't ever recall a time where we went into a game where DBs wasn't worried about me throwing the football. I always seen concern in their faces. I always seen them trying to lock up guys like Roddy White and Peerless Price, especially early in my career. Even Brian Finneran, when I didn't have top-tier receivers, they still feared our passing game, and because of what we did with Ozzie Crumpler. You know, Kyle is in a great situation with Cliff Kingsbury. I think they're running a system where he's familiar with it. He understands it. Which will allow him to throw the football more freely and effectively and run the football just when he needs to. I think probably the majority of their snaps are the shotgun. I haven't watched any games to break them down. But I think Kyler's in a good space. I think he understands how to play the position, you know, from that type of – from the shotgun formation, which is what he's used to coming out of college. And I think it'll help him in the pros as far as preserving his body. Now, he won't be one of the guys that'll be running into defenders. He'll be one of the guys trying to get away from him.
Talking to Michael Vick, you could see him 8 in the morning on Fox NFL kickoff show. Michael, I think you might have heard this, but in case you didn't, this is from NFL Network, Steve Smith talking to Kyler.
What player are you going to put on your jersey? You're going to say, you know what? Let me channel my inner.
I think growing up, Mike Vick, the way we run, shorter stature, being able to move, you know, the way he did. He's really like Michael Jordan. Like, to me, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he was.
Are you Michael Jordan?
No, not at all.
What about that?
It's a cool comparison talent-wise. And shout out to my boy Steve Smith. That's my man. He loves him like a brother. It's an epic battles in Carolina versus Atlanta. Not Michael Jordan at all. You know, I don't have the rings to show for it. But I gave it everything that I had, man. And I appreciate that compliment from Kyler Murray. You know, it says a lot about, you know, what I did for the game, man. And, you know, it's exciting to have a guy like Kyler and a guy like Lamar just being sprinkled into, you know, the guys like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and, you know, Big Ben, and hopefully he gets healthy. And then we got our Tom Brady's and our Phillip Rivers and, you know, just, you know, guys who play the position in different ways and make you respect the quarterback position so much. I love watching guys who are mobile, guys who are not mobile, guys who play the pocket, guys who get outside the pocket. It makes the game fun. It makes the game very interesting. And, you know, even, you know, Matt Ryan can't leave Matt out. Matty Ice had a good week last week. I'll probably be talking about them this Sunday on the show. But, man, football is in a great place and a great space right now, and I'm just enjoying every Sunday.
Now, Michael, can you verify that you are indeed 6 feet tall? You know they made such a big deal out of that, Michael.
Listen, if you want verification, I won't say over this phone, but if you want verification, you come on down here to South Florida and bring your measuring tape.
There you go.
And you'll find out. I won't reveal it over the phone, but hey.
Michael,
You know, at times I was 6 feet, at times I was 5'11", 3/4", you know.
Listen, do you wish you played... Michael, do you wish you played in today's offenses? Or do you have an appreciation?
Yes,
you do?
Yes, I do. I think about it all the time. Like, you know, mine is getting hit. Mine is going through what I, you know, had to go through in all the training camps and all the mini camps and all the OTAs, you know. That right there, that's the part I don't miss. I leave that to the young guys now. If I could just get a game plan line up on Sundays and it looked like Kyler Murray's game plan or Lamar Jackson's game plan, I'll run it. I'll get in shape and run it. But only when I was younger, and I would have been a terror. Like Andy Reid used to always say, if he hit me when I was early, I would have been hell on wheels. So I firmly believe that, and I can hang my hat on that.
You know, if there's,
I'm not denying that.
You can imagine when we have Super Bowl champions on, we always ask, you know, the feeling of winning a Super Bowl. I haven't asked somebody this, and so sorry to make you the guinea pig here. But when you look at your career, do you focus more on how no one ever in a million years gave you a shot in Minnesota and you were going to lose to the Vikings in that NFC Championship game? Or do you think more about the loss to the Broncos in the Super Bowl?
The loss to the Broncos in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, enlighten me a little bit.
The when for you in your career and the Super Bowl that you got to, right?
No, I never made it. So I, as far as I went was the NFC Championship game. That was a little before my time in Atlanta. If you're talking about Atlanta, Denver.
I am. Why, I just butchered that. I owe you a beer.
No, listen. If you ask me anything about going anywhere near that Super Bowl, I'm going to always think about the Philadelphia Eagles that stood in my way year after year, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I will say this, and I understand where you're getting at.
Yeah.
You know, in 2004, with the 2005, actually, playoffs, NFC Championship game, when we played the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was a tough game. They was probably ranked in the top five in defense for sure, and you know, I know that they had the great Jim Johnson. Mm-hmm. So much respect for him.
Yes,
it was tough to get past those guys, but it was so easy that year getting to the NFC Championship game that, without a doubt in my mind, I knew I would get back at some point. Maybe the next year, maybe the year after, and it never happened. And you know, I think that's just a credit to how tough the game is and how much respect you have to have for the game of football. And not predetermine that things are going to happen or expect things to happen. You got to go out and make it happen. And that was a lesson that I learned from that. So when I got to Indy and Philly, you know, I was giving everything I had or everything I could in order to get back to, you know, to experience those moments again and try to do it different. But it never happened. Like I say, it's a credit to how tough the league is.
Mm. Mm.
Man, I love to hear you talk about Jimmy Johnson. I'm telling you that right now. He was the secondary coach when I was playing for the Cardinals. Jimmy Johnson, the great Jimmy Johnson. No doubt about it, Michael.
Great man.
Good stories. Good stories, Michael.
Michael, honestly, thank you, dude. Thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. Seriously, we would love to have you back on.
Man, give me a call anytime, man. We'll make it happen.
Thank you, Michael. That was awesome.
Let's talk like week 7 or week 8. Just recap.
Yeah. That sounds that's good, a good dude. Idea. Thank you, Michael. And obviously, next time you're in Phoenix, I owe you a beer for that. Michael Absolutely. Vick joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Boy, how did I do that? Just invented a memory that wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, you know,
who was the quarterback of that Falcons team?
I'm not talking about anything. I'm not.
Well, when I butcher something that bad, I got to own it. I can't remember who the quarterback of that Falcons team was then.
Yeah, let me think about that. Next.
Was it Chris Chandler? Man. Well, by the way, I owe a lot of people lunch. So anybody that's listening, I'm not going to buy all of you lunch, but maybe about 5 or 10 of you, I owe you lunch for butchering that memory that bad. Coming up next, we got the latest on Cam Newton on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cam. Thanks for listening to the two of us this morning, even though I feel like an idiot right now. But we'll keep going. No, by the way, indefensible. Apologize to everybody. Totally embarrassed right now. But we'll get into the hardcore stuff with Cam Newton as far as what you need to know right now. This is from yesterday.
Can you give us an update on your quarterback situation?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. That's the head coach, Ron Rivera. Well, now the latest came out right in the middle of the Doug and Wolf show today, in which you've got Cam Newton missing practice today. Now, in the football way of things, it's a big deal when you miss Wednesday. It's a big deal when you miss Thursday. When you miss Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you've got to be like Tom Brady to be playing. You know, I mean, you've got to be one of the most elite players of all time before you're going to be able to get back on the field when you miss those 3 days. And it's got to be the type of injury where it kept you off the practice field, but like maybe a sickness or something that clears up. It's just not normal. Well, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday agenda time schedule for practice that's pretty universal in the NFL, because Carolina played on a Thursday night, they moved all that back a day, so it was Tuesday, yep. Wednesday, Thursday. So he missed every single major day of Cardinals prep. That's not normal.
And that's typically
for you to
right
play.
Yeah, that's typically it for most coaches. They will not play a player that missed those major days of practice right there. They won't do it right now. Listen, today's NFL is a lot different. It's a lot different. I mean, the thought of actually sitting down a starter on a Wednesday practice. I mean, like they do with Larry Fitzgerald all the time, right? T. Sizzle, they sit him down. Chandler Jones, they take their best players and sit them down on a Wednesday practice. It's a, you know what? Hey, listen, we're going to give them a Veterans Day off during the season.
Mm-hmm.
It is mind-numbing to me that that would actually happen. And in today's NFL, that is the norm. It happens all the time to give these veterans a day off. I'm talking about during the work week, during the game plan week, giving them a day off. So it's really, really changed. There's no doubt about that. But if you missed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which is a normal week, again, this week was different for the Panthers. It was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But if you miss those 3 days, the odds of playing, I think, are still pretty slim. And the only way you're going to play is if that coach believes mentally you are superior. You are elite. You're going to be able to handle it when most players would not be able to handle it.
And even though you trust Cam Newton to know the offense and everything, nobody wants to say it, but he's 0-8 in his last 8 games. And yes, a quarterback doesn't win the whole game for you.
Looks bad.
But he hasn't looked good in a long time. It just seems to make sense for them to say, you know what, take a week. Let's try to get you right. And then throw Kyle Allen out there.
As the Cardinals analyst, I will tell you that I still would rather see Kyle Allen than Cam Newton any day of the week. I'd rather see Kyle Allen making his second start as an undrafted frookie. I can't believe I just said that.
Did you say frookie?
I said frookie. As in rookie free agent.
Yeah.
conflated the word. That is beautiful.
That might be a new phrase.
You might want to pull that one right there.
He's a frookie.
The frookie.
I can see that taking over in the
NFL.
No
doubt about it, right?
Every undrafted free agent is now a frookie.
I'd rather see Kyle Allen basing on ins than Cam Newton any day in that situation.
Get lower-level tickets for just $19.87 to see number 24 ASU take on Colorado coming up Saturday. That's right. They're ranked, and you can get inexpensive tickets if you text DEVILS to 620-620, and we'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's text DEVILS to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special. Coming up next, Michael Vick says there's a lot to love about Kyler Murray. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. How about Michael Vick? Totally understanding why he gets compared to Kyler Murray or why Kyler Murray gets compared to him.
Yeah, well, I think they're very accurate comparisons. When you look at what Kyler can do when the ball is in his hands from the time he gets it from the center, it's almost, you know, the things that he can do dynamic is always on display. In week one of our Fox NFL kickoff show, I said that Kyler was an amazing arm talent. He went out and threw for 300 yards. Week two, he goes out and throw for 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I also said we know about his running abilities and the things that he can do when he takes off, when things break down. When things break down, he can, you know, he can scoot it up the field and he can gain 10, or he can scramble to his right or left, throw it downfield and gain between 10 or 50.
Mm.
Man, it's just amazing to hear Michael Vick talking, right? Because Michael Vick was the most explosive quarterback the NFL has ever seen. You're running a sub-4-4, a legitimate 4-3 guy that had a cannon for an arm. Threw the ball as a left-hander, right? But had a cannon for an arm. The one knock against Michael Vick, actually there were two knocks against Michael Vick. The two knocks were that he wasn't very accurate. He didn't have great accuracy. That's something you hear Kyler Murray always attributed with, having great accuracy, of course, and we have seen that up close and personal. And also the fact that Michael Vick would pull the ball down and run, that that was a serious option for Michael Vick. Now, it was interesting to talk to him where I had always heard about Michael Vick that, you know what, coaches told him, don't run. You've got to be able to throw the ball. Don't run. They discouraged him to use that natural athleticism, that freaky athleticism, that great athleticism that he had. They discouraged him to do it because you had to throw the ball. That was a serious belief in the National Football League, and it's still prevalent today that you have to be able to throw the ball from the pocket if you want to play quarterback in the NFL.
What's so amazing about this line of thinking that you're on now with is, to me, with Kyler Murray, I want it to be like the fifth read. You know, I read this. I read run, you know, and then you take off. And it's just it's one of your last reads, because I think it's more important for a quarterback to beat the team with his brain and arm first.
The harsh reality of that, of course, is what? The pass rush.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes
you don't get to choose.
Right.
So having said that, how about we juxtapose Michael's answer to you and what we continually remind ourselves of? We asked Lincoln Riley right after the draft, the Friday morning after the draft. We've got Kyler Murray now. And we asked Lincoln Riley, did you ever have to tell Kyler to stop running?
Never. That's not. He's a thrower first. Always has been. That's how he's been raised.
And that was so quick.
It was.
And then for you to ask legit Michael Vick a question that we all thought was true, that coaches tried to confine him, keep him in the pocket in order to learn to be a better thrower. And in actuality, it was more media people or other quarterbacks saying it.
My coaches never tried to take that nasty aggression away from me as far as running the ball. They knew it was an asset of mine, and that it could be used as long as it was used accordingly throughout the course of a football game. You know, what I tried to do and what I ingrained in my mind was becoming a passer and making defenses fear me in the pass game just as much as they would fear me in the run game. So I don't ever recall a time where we went into a game where DBs wasn't worried about me throwing the football.
That, the look on my face.
Yeah.
If in fact you could have seen it based on
talking about something we thought
when
was
he
fact.
Said that. Yep.
We thought that was fact.
That blew my mind.
One of us thought it was fact that he played in a Super Bowl. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Kinetico.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's poll question, how does Doug feel right now?
I'm sorry.
I don't know why you're apologizing to me for being an idiot. What's the question?
Cardinals fans, which player would you most like the team to acquire? Jalen Ramsey, Trent Williams, Taco Charlton.
Trent Williams.
The answer is Trent Williams, unless you think Michael Vick played at a Super Bowl.
Why is it? I mean, honestly, why would you go with Trent Williams immediately? Why is that your first guttural reaction?
Because he's good, it's a position of need, and his frustration is not contract-related.
I would also say because you have Kyler Murray as your franchise quarterback. Now, again, I'm not going to call him a franchise quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, but I'll promise you right now, the Cardinals are looking at him like he's a franchise quarterback. For me, it takes time. Time. Only time will tell if, in fact, Kyler Murray's got what it takes on the field and off the field to be a franchise quarterback. Only time will tell. But right now, for the Cardinals, he's a franchise quarterback. Go get a tackle.
Do you remember a man by the name of Jared Valdir?
I sure do.
I would get Trent Williams, and I would say, Trent, I want you to play right tackle for the rest of the year. And then he was your starting right tackle for the rest of the year. And then you have that conversation at the end of the year, and you say, you know what? It's time for you, DJ, to be a right tackle, and you switch him for 2020.
Right now, DJ's having a pretty good year
at
left tackle.
But I would believe Trent would be better.
So 50% say Trent Williams, 41% say Jalen Ramsey, and 9% Taco Charlton.
I love a fan base that says go O-line.
9% Taco? Honestly, 9?
You thought it'd be higher?
We all know there's 2%ers out there.
They're 9%ers
contrarians, of course.
I think that's
9% Taco?
I love a fan base that says go O-line. That's a really intelligent fan base.
Man.
Too bad you don't have an intelligent talk show host to lead the conversation. Coming up next, Paul's Call is there to pick up anybody's mood.
Speak for yourself, Douglas.
That's true. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no.
It's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
I mean, we could sit here and we could talk about
the elephant in the room.
How in two games, the Dolphins have been outscored 102-10.
Screens it to James White. Nobody there. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Booyah. Just that easy, and that's how the Pats made it. 43-0, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know, there's the elephant in the room. I mean, there are certain things, you know, whether it's the Minka trade or Laramie or Kenny or dropping the ball.
Right.
Throwing an interception.
That's right. Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic saying, don't ignore the elephant in the room when the tank is on.
So long, losers!
Dolphins are going 0-16 and everybody knows it.
Some people treat them as taboo, but it's really, you just have to be open about it. And
you got to get it out there, says the Gilbert guy, the Harvard man. Just being honest.
What, I thought we were in the trust tree with in the nest, are we not?
Forget the Dolphins, though. You guys know that Paul's Call really enjoys talking about
UFO.
In the last 24 hours, gentlemen,
UFO.
We have news.
U.S. Navy has finally acknowledged that videos appearing to show UFOs flying through the air are real.
Real! Finally, the Navy admits those spider pilot videos are real.
Alive. It's alive!
They're real.
They don't call them UFOs. They call them unidentified aerial phenomena.
And they're spectacular. Hey, Navy, you can call them whatever you want. These videos were not intended for public release originally, but since a New York Times report, they had to acknowledge this audio.
It's rotating.
What is that thing? It's rotating.
It's rotating.
Two fighter pilots, and they have no clue what's flying around them.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. Oh, I'll take it.
separate videos recorded at separate times, which is why we pack.
Oh. The sawed-off shotgun is more.
It's a UFO, Paul, not an alien. Yeah,
but you believe in Sasquatch, sports takes, and eyewitness accounts by the pilots in our direction.
As we both looked out the right side of our airplane, yep, we saw a disturbance in the water and a white object, oblong, pointing north.
And if you don't believe a pilot, Wolf, I mean, don't forget the Arizona man abducted by aliens who lived to tell about it. Play that clip.
I saw non-human beings.
Right.
And it was, you know, the most terrifying experience of my life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also failed a lie detector, basically. It's interesting.
Back to football. I mean, not to beat a dead dolphin. You know, I mean, I don't want to beat a dead dolphin around here, but you can't say the same thing about a team that's a 22-point dog at Dallas.
It's unethical and morally reprehensible because we understand how dangerous football is as a game. Putting guys out there in this type of danger is a problem.
Dominique Foxworth, former NFL DB on ESPN, and he's
disappointed
in the Dolphins.
These young men have committed their lives to getting to the NFL, and the expectation is once you get to the NFL, the team will do the very best that they can do to make sure you succeed. They are not doing this there, and that's not fair because these guys are physically paying the price.
Let's just say,
what is Brian Flores doing down there, honestly?
The Dolphins are not competitive. The rest of the league pretty much clowns their organization, their operation.
Yeah. I have shareholders.
Yeah.
You haven't even got cup holders.
Foxworth says, if you're a player,
beep, beep,
you need to be gone.
These guys are putting bad film on tape because they're not trying to win, and it's going to shorten their careers. And you know who's going to benefit from them? The owner and the general managers and maybe the potential future coach. These guys aren't going to benefit from it. They're going to be out of the league having their careers ruined by a selfish team like the Dolphins.
I hope Cam isn't selfish and that he actually does play on Sunday.
Cam!
Oh, please play Cam with those 15 missed open receivers the other night.
Oh, Cam!
And that QB efficiency rating 31st in the league.
Cam!
Paul Feinbaum, we know what he said. Doug, you played it yesterday about Cam, and it sounded very, very poisonal, you know?
He's a train wreck right now. He can't do what he used to do. And quite frankly, forget the sympathy tour. Cam Newton has never really cared about anyone other than Cam Newton.
And that clip has been everywhere. It's been viral. But what I haven't heard is what Ryan Clark said right after Paul Feinbaum was done, and they kept a split screen, and there was Feinbaum squirming as Ryan Clark lit him up a moment after Feinbaum finished.
We just spoke glowingly about Paul, glowingly about Eli Manning, and he has been a dud for the last 4 years. You want to talk about bringing a franchise down? Eli has ruined that franchise. So we got to take out how we feel about dudes because he's a Manning, because we love him, because he gives us this sucks. You can do whatever you want to me, and I'm going to be okay about it. That's not true. If we're looking at it right now, Cam has more left than Eli's had for years. So we got to take out how we feel about dudes and the way that they act and say that he doesn't get to have a tour or he doesn't get to have farewells. That's not how it works.
There's another minute 15 of Ryan Clark unloading on Paul Feinbaum on air in the studio, and Feinbaum just squirming.
I can stay healthy too if I learned how to throw the ball and do this.
And anyway, that was
a big Ryan Clark.
Wow.
So
I'm with Ryan Clark.
Did Feinbaum ever issue an apology of any sort? Anything? Was there anything that came out on that?
I'm a big Ryan Clark fan.
Big fan.
Paul, wrap this thing up.
A look at performances that have Paulie pensive pondering.
You're better than that.
You're better than that, man.
You're better than that.
You know, these days, Florida State football is
skid mark on the underpants of society.
I mean, if you're a loyal fan, you try to tell yourself that
you can do it.
No. Remember last October, Florida State got jack stomped by Clemson 59-10.
Kaplooey!
Coach Willie Taggart used that four-letter word, quit.
Embarrassing performance. First time since I've been here where I felt like we had some guys that quit on our football team. That can't be tolerated.
Then Coach Taggart, he doubled down.
We need more dogs.
Used the four-letter S word, soft.
Part of changing the culture is changing our mentality. I think mentally we're a mentally weak football team, and we're not mentally strong yet, and that's part of changing the culture to get it the way that you want it.
And ever since, Well, the Noles missed a bowl game for the first time in 36 years. This season to open, they lost to Spud State. They barely beat Louisiana Monroe in overtime. They just lost to Virginia.
And that's embarrassing right there.
So embarrassing that a Florida State booster and his four-year-old son, they launched a family project.
Lemonade, like grandma, man.
Set up a father-son lemonade stand.
Get your lemonade!
To raise money for Willie Taggart's buyout.
You're better than that.
They set up a sign that says, Free Willie. It's a lemonade stand in Tallahassee to help pay the $17 million buyout.
Not good for dad.
I mean, what are you teaching your four-year-old punk?
I agree.
I mean, you got a sign that says all proceeds go towards funding the buyout of the head coach. And by the way, they were charging $20 a cup.
Better than that.
One guy walked up and donated a hundy, it says here, as the kid raised $241 total. The dad matched the total. They sent the check off to the booster club. And what the dad says qualifies as a
teachable moment here.
It is not.
And you don't have one, do you?
They included a letter from the kid that said he's tired of being made fun of at school. And so there you go.
Not good.
Mom said she meant it to start out as a lesson that instead of complaining your whole life,
the airing of grievances,
you need to get off your rear and do something about it. And then it just sort of evolved from there.
Tired of paying for all the Ubers, Mom.
Isn't that what you guys do for 4 hours every day? You guys just complain, basically, without really doing anything. Isn't that the gist and genesis of this show? Really, just 4 hours of complaining without really doing anything about it. Yes, Paul's gone.
Wrap it up. Thank you, Paul.
He did wrap it up.
Yeah. How did the show make you feel?
Woo! I wish Michael Vick listened as well as you
did. Not only did I go to the Paul house, I paid for it. You give me the small change crap. The Uber.
Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't buy one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is that poor starting quarterback from the Atlanta Falcons that I just ripped away from him ever being in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim.
I mean, it was 620 square feet of Po House. It's like $20 a square foot I paid. I want my money back.
We talked to the most explosive quarterback that ever played in the NFL, Michael Vick. That was pretty cool.
But we did not talk to Chris Chandler.
Peace and strength.